Welcome back to the Average to Savage Show with Scaletti, a podcast that will help you overcome your limiting beliefs, setbacks, and fears to create the life you were destined to live.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Average to Savage podcast. This is the first interview on the rebrand. This is Matt Scaletti here with special guest Rob Rich, aka Cowbell Rob, as you'll hear why he got that name. Rob is a 45-year-old ultra marathon runner and loves the outdoors. He convinced his wife, Stephanie, this is how he told me to say it, by the way. He convinced his wife, Stephanie, to marry him a few years ago, and they have five amazing daughters between the two of them. Because of Rob's life choices and the choices of others in his life among the recovery community, he strives to help anyone and everyone he can to stay positive and accomplish their goals and dreams. And I love that about you, my friend. Cowbell Rob, welcome to the podcast.
Love it, Matt Scaletti. Happy to be here, buddy.
Are you ready?
The question is, are you ready?
For those just listening, he has the cowbell sitting next to him, and he didn't even show me the cowbell before we started recording. I love that. You're the first guest to have multiple props on the show. I'm excited. Who knows what's going to happen over the next half hour? So for those that don't know, I met Rob a few years ago at this event called 29029. We've been friends ever since, and I'm excited to dive in, my friend. Let's get into your background. Like, so you're an ultra marathon runner. Have you always been a runner? And what was Cowbell Rob like as a youngster?
I played sports growing up, but never. In my wildest dreams, thought I was going to be, a runner. My brother and I, we'd always, see people running on the streets, and we'd always make fun of them, like, why do you run? Run for fun? Are you kidding me? No, there's no fun in run.
Me too. I did that for years too. So what happened? I remember those shirts that said run for fun, and I remember rolling my eyes thinking, that's not possible. So how does one go from poking fun of that to now becoming said person?
Well, 10 years ago, my brother and I, we joined a group called Addict to Athlete. And we went, my brother was in it, to help his daughter at the time, who was in addiction recovery. And he's like, Rob, you like backpacking, you like hiking. Why don't you come join the group with us? And we run after every meeting. We go run a 5K. He's like, if you want to, run with us, then you can go run. I got a phone call. We are getting out of that. My bad.
No, you're good. I can still hear you. It's rolling right okay. On.
So what we did is he's like, come run with us and see these sites and do all these things, a lot quicker, a lot faster. You can see more stuff out there on the trails. And so I was like, that's perfect. That way I don't have to hike it or backpack it. I can just run it. And I started doing that. And boy, things went off from there and I haven't looked back.
I love that. And let's just get into that part of it too. When you mentioned Addict to Athlete, because I'm wearing one of their shirts right now. You and I have we've battled different addictions in our lives. How did you get involved with that? I know it's been near and dear to your heart for many years. I'm newer to the organization, but do you care to share a little bit of that part of the story?
What Addict Athlete is, we're a group to help people, obviously, in recovery. Our motto is erase and replace. Erase the bad things in life and replace them with things of greater value, such as, athletics, getting out of your comfort zone, like we say, for Savage Saturdays. And we're just here to help anybody and everybody who's, trying to change their lives.
I love that. I got to ask you something, because I was talking to a friend about this. As a former alcoholic myself, Do you think, and I love that quote, I just wrote that down, erase and replace. Is that something that you did that, like I was talking to this friend about, is that basically what I did was I got rid of one addiction, which was alcohol, and replaced it with healthy living, which clearly has changed the trajectory of my life. Is that what you feel that works? Like that process is works for most people?
I would say it works for most people, you know, but not everybody, you know, not everybody, you know, wants to jump in right away and start running or exercising, you know, it just like anything else, you know, it takes some time. It takes some practice. And if you've got a team behind you, it's a whole lot easier to get out there and do the things you're uncomfortable with.
Oh, that's so true. That community idea. And I mean, I think that's what drew me to you so quickly is you are such a big part of these communities that you help out with. And I feel like that's a big thing. Like how has community or friendships or your family helped you in difficulties through your life?
Oh, wow, Matt. That's a great question. My family, you know, 5.5, 6 years ago, I started going, you know, through a pretty bad divorce. And my brother and his wife at the time, they took me in. You know, I was able to stay at their house and live with them. You know, without them, I was like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? You know, and then, you know, after my that, you know, that divorce, you know, my wife, Stephanie, I met her and I was still, you know, pretty down in life. And she was there just to listen to me and to walk me through things. And it's always nice to have that, you know, that support, to have somebody to talk to, you know, whenever, you know, you're down or you need help with anything in life. It's always nice to have that person.
Oh, that's so true. And you, how did you and Stephanie, how did you meet originally?
So, I've worked for UPS for 22 years, and I delivered, you know, the package side of the company. I did that for, you know, 14 years. And the last, oh, I'd say 2.5 years, you know, Stephanie loaded my package car. So she loaded my truck every single day for me.
I love that. And then you just slowly started building the relationship. I assume it started just as a coworker and then you became friends. And now you're the luckiest man on the planet.
Right?
By the way, just to give you an idea of how I met these two, I was hiking up this mountain at 29029, this Everesting event in Utah. And they were working at separate aid stations that were like half a mile apart from each other. And they had me as their mule carrying notes up to one another on the mountain. And I swear to you, this story helped get me through the worst part of that event. Like the pain went away because now I'm a part of something different where I'm not focused on myself. So I appreciate you for helping me out throughout the wee hours of the night.
Anytime, brother. You know, it's little stupid things like that that get your mind off the pain and how hard things are. And that's what we need sometimes.
That's so true. And you say little stupid things, and maybe it was, but I'll never forget that. Like I will never forget that story. And it just, it made that event so much more fun. And I need to share with everybody and the reason Cowbell Rob has that name on at these events. And now I've seen you what, like 3 times, I think at events, yep. He goes all in, all out, all in, whatever you want to say, at these events and cheers as loud as anybody I've ever seen consistently over hours and hours and hours. And I have to ask you, and we talked a little bit about this offline, but where do you get the energy and why do you keep showing up like that with so much positive vibes and encouragement for other people?
I'm going to get emotional here, Matt.
That's okay. I've cried many times on this podcast.
My niece, Carly, who is on my hat. I carry her everywhere I go. She overdosed on heroin. I think it was about 6 years ago. And she served everybody. Whether it was with a smile, with a friendly hello, or actually doing service for you. And being who she was, I told myself, I'll never let that part of Carly, disappear. And so ever since she passed away, and I was, outgoing and try to help people out prior to, but with her, and what she left us, I got to keep it going. And so that's my goal in life, is to be of service to anybody and everybody whenever I can. And you guys on the mountain, when you're in the pain cave, you need, again, that stupid somebody yelling at you, screaming at you, cheering you on, somebody to get you going, to get you up the mountain.
Well, I didn't know that part of the story, and I didn't meet your niece, but I would assume she's smiling down at you and you're carrying on of the legacy, because you bring it, my friend. I mean, it's very impressive to see the energy that you have, no matter if it's 11 a.m. or 2 o'clock in the morning. If you're out there, you're giving it 1,000%, and I love it. I seriously love it. It makes, like, you're such a big part of the culture of these events because of that energy. So do you, as an ultra runner and also a supporter of others, do you love both aspects of it, or is there one that you enjoy more than another?
I love being out there, supporting people, but yes, I also love the events themselves. Being an ultra runner, the training, you're out there by yourself training. Nobody knows how much work, you really put in until game day, and if you, what's the word? I'm not sure. But if you go out and compete on game day, and you show up and produce, people know that you've put in the work prior to. And I love that feeling when you cross that finish line of a 50-mile race, 100-mile race, and you know that all that work was worth it. What else can you do in life? You push yourself to the limits in everything you do. And I guarantee that happiness is, out of this world.
That is, I could not agree with you more. And I don't know about you, but I've been on both sides of that, where I've come into an event underprepared. And that feeling is one of, I don't want to ever have this feeling again, because the reverse is so true. Well, I mean, once it's like all that work when nobody's watching, and then when there are people watching, or maybe there aren't, but you're prepared, there is no better feeling. I mean, it's so true. That's an addictive feeling, I think. I would imagine a healthy addiction. But I love that feeling too. I'm right there with you. So that's how you enjoy both.
Yes. Yes. And then knowing, what people are going through out there on the mountain or out on the course, or, like this last weekend, we helped out at the Zion Ultra, the 100K and 100 milers came into our aid station, and how they're feeling when they get to you at mile 80. And you just know. And so you have an idea of what they need, what they, what you can do for them. And just little things like, okay, what's your favorite song to get you going? I would grab my phone, put it on the speaker and blast it. Anything to get people going.
And what's amazing about that? And I'm sure, I know you know this, but that song that you pick for them, it's not like that spark ends as soon as they leave the aid station. A lot of times that can last 3, 5, 7 miles and get them to the next aid station. And I think that's, I don't know what it is. What do you think it is about, you're in these events and they're always going to suck at some point, but like we build these friendships in like such short periods of time because we're doing something hard. How do you like, does that make sense to you that, like, because I know you do this, like you get close with these people and some of the events are 2 days, 3 days, but it seems like you come out of there with best friends after a short period of time.
Man, the community, the friends that I've made just from 29029 in a couple of years we've been helping there, we built that relationship immediately from the get-go. As soon as you hear my cowbell on the mountain, you know there's some crazy guy up there that's ready to meet you and talk to you and learn about you, so that I can use that, to help you, each time you come up the mountain or each time I see you at an aid station. That relationship, we're best friends, and it's always nice to have your friend to get you through the crappy times of life.
See, I think that's a great point. I was going to ask you that, how these events, which are, last a day or two, how have you seen what you bring to these events in the communities that you're in map over into your Monday through Friday life? Have you seen changes in yourself off of the mountain and outside of these events?
Very much so. For my birthday this last week, Stephanie and I have always talked about, the people of 29029 and the ultra races that we help at and the things that they go through and the struggles that they have. And everyday life, we have those struggles. And we see, the things we have to deal with every day. And me personally, I look and remember, the Matt Scaletti dragging ass up that mountain and needing all the help in the world. And then I realized, okay, just one step at a time. He's going to get up to the top. He's going to make it to the next aid station, but, with a little bit of help. And then I remember, you guys are struggling. That's nothing compared to what I'm doing out here day to day. So I use you guys, and the memories that I've made with you to get me through. I'm a truck driver. And when somebody on the road cuts me off in my, semi truck pulling triple trailers and, 90,000 pounds, I things could be worse. I take my foot off the gas and just, coast a little bit. Yeah, I may say a word or two, but
you connect with them over the CB and give them some choice words or no?
Hey, you must be in a bigger hurry than I am. I'm going to go ahead and take my foot off the gas and, continue on your way, please. Get out of here.
But see, I think that's so powerful that it's almost like you're more calm and peaceful in your day-to-day life because of going through these difficult, challenging situations that you do a lot of weekends out of the year.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Discomfort is a beast. I love that topic. And by the way, speaking of discomfort, and I know a little bit of this story that you shared a couple of weeks ago when we talked, but if you wouldn't mind sharing this idea of discomfort, but in a different way, hitting a rock bottom, if you want to call it. For me, it was with alcohol, just spiraling out of control and then finally realizing, if I don't change my life, I'll probably be dead or in jail in a few years. Like, I know you've had a rock bottom moment. Like, can you take us back to that and then give us how you climbed out of that situation?
Yeah. So 5.5 years ago, Matt, going through the pretty bad divorce. I was in the deepest and darkest of times I've ever been. My marriage was horrible. And as a delivery guy for UPS, I delivered the same route for, I think it was 14 years. And I was on a delivering to, doing my business deliveries on a very main, the main street in town, very busy. And my life got to the point where I just couldn't do it anymore. My depression was so bad. I loved my kids, but my marriage was so awful. I hated being home. And so one day I was delivering to a business. I pulled up to deliver, and I looked in my driver's side mirror. I saw traffic coming and I knew right away what I was going to do. And sure enough, Matt, I jumped out my driver's side door in front of traffic. I tried taking my life because I was done. And luckily, the good Lord, these people driving were paying attention and swerved around me, and at that point I ended up I think it was, I spent 18 hours in an emergency room waiting for a mental hospital, a psych ward, to find me a room because the rooms were, you know, all booked. But they finally, after 18 hours, this place said, we'll find a room, bring him here. And I spent 10 days in a psych ward and, you know, just resetting my goals and trying to figure stuff out there. And when I got out, I wouldn't say I was a new person or a changed person. I just had, you know, different ideas of what I wanted to do and how I wanted to go about things. A few months after that, I was up on the mountain. You know, I went snowshoeing, you know, 7 or 8 miles up on the mountain. And I, you know, it was January 1st, actually. And I got up in there and I built me a little snowman. And he was my buddy at that time. And I sat and chatted with him. And I finally knew what I needed to do. And that was, you know, file for divorce and start all over again. And so that's what I did. And come April 7th, I got divorced and I changed my job. I went from the delivery side to driving the big semis now. You know, I met Stephanie and she taught me how to love and be loved and how to have an amazing relationship with somebody. And now we're best friends and all the things that we've been able to accomplish, you know, you know, Matt, coming out from the deepest of the deep and the lowest of lows, that's when you learn to fight your hardest sometimes. And after all that happened and now where I'm at today, I thank the good Lord that I'm still here because I could be somewhere a whole lot worse.
I mean, we talked when you shared that, and I still can't believe that. And I mean, I couldn't help but think if one person was looking at their cell phone while driving at the wrong time, you would have succeeded in what you were trying to do. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that and just being so open and vulnerable with this tough of a topic. And I know you and I have discussed vulnerability in the past. I mean, how important has that been for you just to, like, I don't know if you openly shared this story or not, but I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this or watching this can relate in some capacity of going through a rock bottom, whatever that looks like for them. How has vulnerability played a part in your life?
I think being open about the things that happen to us, especially now that we're huge into the, you know, the volunteering and working and helping people out. Last month, yeah, in February, end of February, 1st of March, we were helping out at the Antelope Canyon 100-mile race. And I met a kid, I think 17 years old, and he was struggling to get to the finish line. His dad was pretty much carrying him. And finally, you know, I caught up to him. I ran out way from the aid station. I caught up to him and his dad ran him into the aid station and we had like 2 miles to the finish line. And I finally said, okay, Dad, it's time for you to go. You know, he's got it. He's going to do it on his own. We're going to get him, you know, to the finish. And I shared that story with him of my struggles and the things that I had to go through and where I'm at today. And Matt, the smile on his face and you could tell that everything about him changed. And dude, he finished that 100 miler like a champ. And it's little, you know, things like that where you can share your difficulties, your struggles in life with other people to help them in their life. And if they'll just hold on to it and go with it, you know, the how much better would this world be if it, you know, we all shared our hard times and our good times and the happiness we get from it. The whole world would be a different place.
And when you're doing that, that's such a great story. And I feel like that's exactly what you're doing. Like you're not afraid to open up and share the struggles and triumphs that you've had in the past. And I think that's just so important to do that. And I don't know about you, but as soon as I opened up about being an alcoholic, I was scared that everybody was going to judge me and say, oh, I don't even want to talk to this guy. He can't even control substance. But it was the opposite. Like people were saying, oh my God, my brother battled that, or my spouse, or they did. And it's just amazing what that vulnerability, it brings us closer versus pushing us apart, it seems like to me.
Right. Everybody, I don't care who you are, everybody on this planet suffers from something or knows somebody that's in the same situation as we've been in. You know, so but like our head coach of Addict Athlete always says, turn your mess into a message.
I love that. That's such a great quote. That is such a great quote. I feel like all these stories you have, are we gonna get, I feel like a book entitled Cowbell Rob. Whatever the tagline is below that. I think there's a book, a best-selling book going on inside of your head over there. What do you think?
I've thought about it, but you know, because you know, I've read, you know, different books and people that I know, like, do I have what it takes to you know, to write a book? Am I, you know, up here? Can I do it?
Yes, the answer is absolutely yes. I mean, you have the perfect amount of insanity in there that's going to make it entertaining and powerful for all readers.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, one day, Matt, you know, maybe it'll happen.
I hope so. I would love to read it. So what is on the horizon for Cowbell Rob? What, do you have things, and this will come out in the next few weeks, so in the back half of 2023 or 2024, do you have some goals that you're going after, whether it's for helping out at these events or running yourself? What are you excited about in the future?
Obviously, you know, we've got events that we're working that we're, you know, our schedule this year, Steph and I, is outrageous. We're gone a couple times a month, you know, working these events, and absolutely love it. But back in December, just really, you know, long story short, I got an email welcoming me to participate in 29029. And I like, wait a second, I can't do, you know, I didn't sign up for this event. What's this email? You know, after talking with some big wigs in the company, you know, one of them contacted me and said, Rob, somebody that you've met on the mountain is willing to pay for you to participate in the event if you're willing to do it. And knowing the mountain and how much I enjoy climbing and, you know, endurance events, I broke out in tears and said, yes, let's do it. And so since the first of the year, I started training a little bit, but then come 1st of February, I jumped on my annual keto diet, and I started, you know, really working hard. I'm down 23 pounds.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're cranking out.
Oh, Matt, I'm not taking this event lightly, dude.
So I love it.
I got my 50 miler that I do every year, second week of June. But then after that, we're just going to keep pushing ourselves. And we got some epic things planned for 29029 Snow Basin number one. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to be more than ready for it. And I can't wait. We're gonna be doing some fundraising stuff, you know, for our Addict Athlete group, and just to let, you know, your listeners know that I'm not gonna just stop at 13 a cents, like climbing the mountain. I'm going from hour one to hour 36. I'm climbing that mountain nonstop.
Oh man, I can't wait! And by the way, for those that don't know, and I know I talk about 29029, so I'm sure most of you know, but it's this event, 29,029 feet is the height of Mount Everest. So what Rob's talking about is these different events around the country at these ski mountains. You climb enough ascents to reach what would be the height of Mount Everest. And I think in Snow Basin, like you said, you have to go up 13 times is 29,029 feet, right?
Right.
And you have 36 hours.
What I'm gonna do, Matt, just to, you know, kind of give y'all a taste of what we're planning.
Yes,
it is obviously, you know, you see my shirt. This is one of my, you know, my shirts I wear. I'm a very patriotic person. Between my shirt, I got my flag shorts and socks. I carry my American flag with me, you know, during my events. So for my 13 ascents, I'm gonna do just me. It's all about me. Those first 13 ascents. And then at that time, I'm going to, you know, lose my flag, and I'm going to focus on, during the nighttime, I'm going to focus on other participants, you know, help them get through the night. And I'll pick somebody different to climb with every time. And then the next morning, as the sun comes up, it's a whole new day. You know, we got to change the things we, you know, we do. That sun rises, and then I'm going to grab our addict to athlete proxy flag. That's something that we do at different events that we run. Because how many people out there have we lost to addiction or to cancer or to anything that can't do these events for themselves anymore? And so I'm going to be climbing for them. And we got some different things in mind. Whether I got a new ruck pack that I'm going to add a bunch of weight to it, and I'm going to climb the mountain with you know weights in my pack. I'm right now I'm thinking I'm going to start with 100 pounds.
Oh my God!
And what I'm going to do is that whether I'm going to do 10 pound you know weights or 5 pound weights, like the you know the little plates.
Yeah.
And on each one, I'm thinking of you know putting the things that weigh us down in life, whether it be stress, whether it be work, whether it be, you know, all the, and each plate is going to have a different name. And each time I make the ascent, I'm going to drop one of those plates. Okay. I've conquered that one. You know, next time we're going to drop another one, you know, and by the time we're done, you know, we're going to have a light pack or I'm going to take the pack out. I haven't decided yet exactly what we're going to do, but it's going to be epic, dude. We're going to, you know, motivate and we're going to conquer that mountain for all 36 hours.
This is amazing. And just so everybody knows, most people, it takes most of the 36 hours to get up the mountain 13 times. So to be doing it, most people sleep. Obviously, you will not be doing that. I mean, this is a whole other level of craziness, and I love it. And what are the dates? What are the dates for the event?
August 10th through the 13th, I believe.
August 10th through the 13th this year. Root this man on as he conquers 36 hours. Oh, man, I got to do whatever I can to get out there. That's killing me that I don't know if I can go. But we're not done with that conversation. I got to see if I can figure out a way to get out there. Because I need to flip it around. I need to be the one with the cowbell for you while you're cranking out 36 hours. God, that's so exciting. I can't wait.
Cowbell will be there.
How do people find you? Are you going to be sharing on social media? Are you most active on Instagram?
Instagram or Facebook.
And your name is on Instagram is Cowbell Rob, right?
Cowbell Rob, yep.
Is it just one word?
Cowbell underscore Rob.
Okay, Cowbell underscore Rob. Check this man out. We'll put it in the show notes. One final question for you, Mr. Cowbell Rob. Okay. What is one key takeaway? And you and I were joking around about the average to savage. I feel like you and I were, I don't want to speak for you, but I was way below average for many, many years. What's a key takeaway that you learned or you used to take your life from average to full-on savage mode like you will be in August?
I think the main thing that you can get through anything, you know, if you put your mind to it. Mindset is everything. Just like today, you know, Matt, we were talking, you know, yesterday, this week's been tough for me with, you know, lack of sleep from over the weekend, whatever. I woke up this morning and I was like, okay, I've got to do something today. You know, so I got up, I ran my 5K, I jumped in my ice bath. I didn't want to do it, you know, but mindset is everything. And if you can just get those stupid comments, or I mean, not comments, but thoughts out of your head that I can't do this, change it to, I can't do this yet. Okay, I'm going to be able to do it, you know, but just a little bit at a time. You know, you've got it, and, you know, lean on those people around you, the ones that care about you, the ones that love you, the ones that want to see you succeed. And if you do that, let them know, you know, hey, this is what I'm planning on doing. Help me out. And I guarantee nobody's going to, you know, back down. They're going to be right there with you to and do all the crazy, stupid things that, you know, that you want to do.
But you're so right. It's so amazing how many people want to help. All they need is somebody to ask them. And it's like, boom, let's go. Like, I feel like there's so many people out there that if they were asked, they would jump on an opportunity to help out a friend or family member or an acquaintance or whoever. And I'm with you. You seem like you do such a good job of building and maintaining the relationships in your life. And it's because I know you're a giver. You just give. And it's inspiring, my friend. I appreciate you so much as a friend and for hopping on the podcast.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to come chat with you, Matt. It's always a pleasure. And I hope, you know, that your listeners will jump on board when it comes to, you know, our fundraising for 29029 event that we're doing. And dude, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a good year.
Yes, it is. And you got to let me know. I will be sharing the links to that and, of course, donating myself. So we'll chat about that and we'll get some links up for you so we can get some help financially coming by way of addict to athlete. So I'm in to help out however I can.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
Much love, Cowbell Rob. You are inspiring. You are a badass. I appreciate you so much for hopping on. Thanks, everybody, for listening or watching. And we will see you all next week. Peace out, Mr. Cowbell Rob.
See you, buddy.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment if you enjoyed the show. To follow on social media, at Matt Scaletti on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Feel free to shoot me a message, reach out. I'd love to hear feedback, and wishing you an amazing rest of your week.